After Eliezer successfully negotiates the shidduch between Yitzchak and Rivka, the time has come for Eliezer and Rivka to return back to the house of Avraham so that Rivka can meet her future husband Yitzchak, they can get married, and the next chapter of Jewish history can begin. As they are about to take leave from Rivka's home, we read in Perek Chav Daled, Pasuk Samech, V'yavarchu es Rivka. They blessed Rivka. Suel, his friends, family, the servants, everyone there, they blessed Rivka. She was about to leave. Yom Rula, and they told her, Achoseinu at hayi, our sister, may you be la'alfei revava, may you be in terms of your family, your future generations, your progeny, your destiny, into the thousands and thousands of people. V'yirash zareich es shar sonav, may your offspring inherit even the gate of your foes, huge success, huge bracha, all with generosity expressed towards Rivka in her pending and upcoming shidduch and marriage to Yitzchak. Fascinatingly, in the beginning of Maseches Kala, Chazal teach us that this pasuk is a remez for the idea of sheva brachos. As the Gemara there puts it, kala blo bracha asura l'ba'ala, that a bride, even if you've done all the other halachos, in terms of creating the marriage, but nevertheless, kala b'lo bracha, without additional brachos, is prohibited to her husband. Husband and wife are not allowed to be intimate, they cannot consummate the marriage without bracha. In fact, the Gemara goes on to compare it, even though the comparison is not exact or precise, but the Gemara there compares it to a woman who is a nida. And just like a woman who is a nida is prohibited to her husband unless she would go to the mikvah, so too, says the Gemara, without the Birkas Chasanim, without the Sheva Brachos, you are also prohibited, husband and wife, from being intimate. This is a remez, if not an outright source, for the idea that we call Sheva Brachos. And I'd like to just review a few of the interesting points that relate to Sheva Brachos, both classical timeless issues, as well as perhaps one even more somewhat modern or timely issue. So first of all, a very important halacha, as many of us know, is that you need a minyan to say Sheva Brachos. The Rambam, and the Tur brings this down, in Evan Ezer, Simon Samach Beis, paskins that not only do you need a minyan, but that the chasan can actually count towards one of the minyan. However, the Prisha brings down from others who disagree with this. The question is, what would that machlokas be about? How come sometimes we would say that you need 10 plus, but in this case, the chasan actually can be part of the minyan, 9 plus the chasan? So the Netziv, in his commentary, Hamek Shela, suggests that this gets to the heart of what the purpose of Sheva Brachos is. That is to say, he assumes that it's really a way of being mesameach, the kala, specifically the kala. And therefore, since the chasan himself is obligated to bring joy and happiness and be mesameach his now wife, so it makes sense that he should be part of the minyan since he's also part of the mitzvah being mesameach the kala. A different approach is brought down in the name of the Brisker Rav, the Griz, and he suggests that perhaps it relates not to what the purpose of the Sheva Brachos are, as we just saw previously, but rather, what's the reason for minyan? If we can understand why we have a minyan, then we may understand why it would make sense or not for the groom, for the chasan, to be counted. And the Griz's, the Brisker Rav's idea is based on a position that he accepts, it seems, of Rabbi Kiv Eger, who distinguishes between Sheva Brachos and Birkas HaGomel. Birkas HaGomel, if a person survives something that's life-threatening, they also need to make a Birkas HaGomel to thank Hashem. So according to Rabbi Kiv Eger, at least, we accept the position we've seen until now that the chasan can count towards the minyan of Sheva Brachos. However, the person making the Birkas HaGomel cannot count towards the minyan. At least according to Rabbi Kiv Eger, you need a minyan, 10 people, plus the person making the Birkas HaGomel. So why make that distinction? So the Griz explains, because it depends why you need a minyan. In the case of the Sheva Brachos, he assumes the Sheva Brachos are a Dover Shebegdusha, like laning, or like Kaddish or Kedusha, or something we do in shul, and therefore, just like you only need 10 men, you don't need the Chazan plus 10 others, that would be sufficient to have the Chazan as part of the 10 in Sheva Brachos. Birkas HaGoma, however, is not about Dover Shebegdusha, but rather it's about thanking Hashem in front of 10 people, and therefore it would make sense that the person who's thanking can't be part of the 10, because we want 10 people to hear the bracha. And if the person who's making the bracha is part of the minyan, only 9 people would hear. So that's one issue which we've examined in a little depth, the fact that you need a minyan, and that it seems like the consensus is, if necessary, the chasson can be part of that count. Another question is, who makes the brachos? And we know that the custom is that it's not the groom, it's not the chasson, even though the Rishonim, including the Mordechai, says really the chasson should. So if that's the case, how come our minhag is that other people make the brachos? So there's different theories. Some Rishonim say because not all chassanim know how to make the brachos, we don't embarrass them. Others say he's preoccupied with, you know, he's very in love, he's just getting married, he won't be able to have kavana. And then a third approach says that the bracha is not really on the kala, it's on both of them, the chassan and the kala. We're wishing them both well, and therefore it would be somewhat unseemly for him to be giving himself a bracha. A third issue is when to make the brachos. We are familiar that we do them at the end of what you and I call the chuppah, the canopy and the poles. But it should be noted that the Rambam feels that you should make the brachos before the chassan enters the chuppah, before they go under the chuppah. And the Beis Yosef suggests that the Rambam sees that it's really a kind of a birchas hamitzvah, just like all birchas hamitzvahs are done before you do the mitzvah. So evidently, he suggests the Rambam felt you do these brachos before you go to the chuppah, before you do the gemar mitzvah. Other Rishonim, such as the Ran, say no, it can even be after, at the end of Nisuin, after the Chuppah, because they're not a bracha of mitzvah, but rather a bracha of praise, a bracha of Shavach Vahoda. Last but not least, just to mention a very interesting 20th century machlokes about microphones. And Rav Moshe Feinstein, among others, but most well known, he was lenient. He felt it's okay to make a bracha like this in the presence of a microphone, because since you hear the voice coming out of the microphone simultaneously with when the person's making the bracha, that counts as you hear the right voice. However, other poskim, most prominently of Shlomo Zalman Orbach, felt that this was a mistake. Shlomo Zalman was adamant, and therefore common practice is to try to be machmir, either not to use a microphone, or to have at least a minion of people who could hear the brachos even without the microphone because they're sitting close up.